So our scripture lesson today is from Luke. It's chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So I called this message the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so up in the northern part of Israel, the Galilean area, it's probably the prettiest, greenest part of Israel anyway, at least when we were there, and I think it always is. And the Sea of Galilee is up there, and so everything is about the fresh water from the Sea of Galilee, and it's mostly melting snow from the mountains just to the north, mostly in Jordan. When we were there in February, I think it was 9 years ago, it was pretty green, but our guide told us it's not normally that green. It had been a little wetter than normal, but it's a beautiful area, and it's still pretty rural. There's a couple of towns, decent-sized, around the lake, but there's really not much up there, and it's kind of a rolly area and green, and it's just really pretty. And so this story begins by Jesus going into the synagogue, and the synagogue was the center of activity. And so basically, if there's 10 families, 10 Jewish families, there was going to be a synagogue in that area. But there's only one temple. I think sometimes we get confused because we think that everybody went to the temple. The temple was a place you went to for special services, or those in Jerusalem might have gone there to pray. But people usually, they went to their local church. They went to their local synagogue. And now, probably about 10 or 12 years ago, I was in a Bible study group, and we went to the Jewish temple in Muncie. And so when we read this about him reading the scroll, I don't know that we picture that very well, because we never see anybody reading a scroll. And so the rabbi had gotten out, it was a tin box that kind of clipped about this long and that big around, and they pulled literally out a scroll. And they unrolled it to the part that someone was going to read that day. And it wasn't the rabbi that read it. It was someone from the church that was well regarded. So that's what they're saying about Jesus. He was well regarded in the area, and they allowed him to come up and read the scripture. Because it wouldn't normally be the pastor or someone that was appointed. It was someone that the congregation felt good about. So I already said that the synagogue was around every 10 families. So the service would consist of three parts. You would have worship, where prayer was going to be offered. You would have reading of the scriptures, and 7 different people did that. And again, it was only by somebody that was well thought out of. And then you would have teaching. So not formal teaching, as in a paid religious leader, but it was people would tell what they thought the scriptures meant. And again, it had to be somebody that was special. They weren't just going to let anybody do it. So the congregation had to feel good about that person. Well, what that tells us is in this time span, so we really don't hear much about Jesus between 13 and 30. I mean, we just don't know much. I went to a funeral this week, and the pastor used that gap to explain why Jesus raised Lazarus. Because somewhere in there, Joseph died. I mean, we have Joseph, and then Joseph is gone. So the assumption is he died somewhere in there. And maybe from that pastor's point of view, Jesus is raising up Lazarus because he feels that loss he felt from his own father. So Jesus was well respected, and he gets to be one of the readers that day. When we look around the world, and I only watched the news just for a few minutes today, that's how I knew the New York policeman was killed and another one was shot. There's usually, in the news, it's almost all bad. I mean, I always talk about the newspaper page 2 being bad, almost all the news, that 15 minutes of news you get if you watch a local station, it's bad. There's nothing in there about the Muncie Mission saved 15 people from being out in the cold last night by bringing them in from the cold, or the Wheeler Mission in Indianapolis, or the Delaware Christian Ministries brought people in a sleeping room last night was because it's cold. They don't tell you that stuff. They only tell you the bad stuff. We live in a world, which I have a hard time telling is worse than maybe it was in the past, or if we just hear more about the bad things than we do the good things. It's hard to tell because I don't know that we get a good balance of good and bad. But I think we can all agree there's a lot of people out in the world that are hurting. They're either hurting because of loneliness. Some of them have mental issues. Some of them, for whatever reason, can't work, won't work, and are lonely, alone. Some are homeless. All those things that people have trouble with. They are longing for something they can't find. And I always think that when people are on drugs, that's their issue. They're longing for something they can't find, and they think they're going to find it from whatever drugs they take. But when you look at them, they just end up taking more and more drugs. And so I would say, even though it may help them in the short run, it doesn't help them in the long run because they keep just doing the same thing over and over. Jesus brought this message, begins his ministry to the world because he wants to change the world. He wants to make a difference in the world. And so for us, the question is, do we still think that's possible? And I think we get beat down sometimes because we don't hear about the good things that happen. And so we just think, oh, woe is us. I can't make a difference. Nothing's ever going to change. So in the paper today, there's an article about Fanny Crosby. We sing a lot of the things that she wrote. Now, I've never really read anything about her till today, and I didn't know she was blind. So all those things that she wrote, the way I read the article, she was blind at birth, so she was always blind and wrote all those songs. And I don't care which one you sing, they're foot stompers, hand clappers, all of them. And so you look at her and you say, oh gosh, that's so she was born blind and so she's always been blind. Oh, how terrible for her. Well, she apparently didn't feel that way because of the music that she wrote and the life that she led. Jesus comes in, we just sang, Jesus comes into the world, but he does it to lift all of us up, to raise us from those things that bring us down. Whether that's people or health or accident or whatever, those things all bring us down. And when Janet said she's so thankful that God is with her all the time, he is with us all the time. We are never alone. We're never by ourselves. Doesn't mean sometimes things aren't going the way we want them to, but it means we're never alone. So Jesus comes, he begins his ministry, and it's really to change the world. And so some people would say, well, he didn't change the world. The world's worse now than it was ever before. So for my class, I'm reading John Wesley's life, kind of life history autobiography. It's what it is. But in England, when he starts his, he wasn't really trying to start a new church, but that's where we end up. But when he does that, he looks around and he says, you know what? Poor families, kids never get to go to school. Only the rich kids get to go to school, which means the poor kids only get to do the jobs where they're always going to be poor and nothing ever changes. And so they start schools in the Methodist Church, which is why you have, well, it's called the University of Indianapolis now, but that was started by the Methodist. And then in London, he sees that people aren't getting medical attention. And he says, you know what? We can open a clinic and we can have people come in and we can help them with things. Maybe we can't help them with everything, but we can help them with some things. And so we end up here with Methodist Hospital. That grew out of that beginning. And I can't imagine So I've been in Epworth, where John Wesley was born. It's still a real little tiny village. I wouldn't even call it a town. It's a village. If he could come back now and see that complex, that Methodist hospital, from where he started in a little building that they maybe took care of 20 or 30 people a month, I don't even think he could imagine you could build something that big and have the things in it that are in it. But those things all started from his idea or people in that group wanting to change the world. And so we look around sometimes and go, oh, the world is so bad. It's awful. This happens and that happens. Yeah, those stuff happens. But the world is entirely a better place because Jesus came in. You don't have this, for us anyway, I'm not saying this is every place, but for us, we don't have this division where a few people are all powerful and everything, and the rest of us are nothing. Where some people get medical service and the rest of us just are going to die because no one's going to take care of us. We have people that start a place like Muncie Mission to take care of mostly men who have mostly alcohol issues, some drug, but most everybody at the Muncie Mission is alcohol related, and brings them in and finds a way to change their lives. And then they find out that when people leave there, at that time it was like 60 or 70% of them would end up back in the same place they were before. And so somebody comes up with an idea, you know what, there's this part of town right across the street from the mission. There's a lot of empty, vacant houses in it. What if we buy a house, we fix it up a little bit, and instead of just sending those guys out there and hope it works out for them, what if we put two or three of them together in a house close to the mission? They can still come here if they need food. If they need services that we provide, they can come here, so they just don't get thrown out on their own. And since they've done that, I think this is like year two or three, that rate of people going back in the same place they were when they came has dropped about 7 times. So instead of it being 60 or 70% of them were going to end up in the same place, at one time, Bob told me they didn't have anybody that came back for over a year. I don't know if that's still true, but we'll say it's been a big change. But somebody thinks that. So you had a mostly men again, a group of men that weren't able really to participate in the world because they had an alcohol problem that so overwhelmed them, they couldn't do anything else. They weren't capable of working because they couldn't keep a job. And people worked through changing that. And I'd say that's the Holy Spirit working in people doing that, making a change in not only those individual lives, but making a change in the world. And so I don't want us, one of the reasons I always put God sightings in there is I don't want us to not think about the good things that happen in the world. Whether it's the things we see in nature, whether it's the people that come in our lives and make a difference, whatever that is. Because I think because of what we see and read all the time, it's easy to become so negative about all the things that are going wrong. But the Lord works in the world all the time. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus says, hey, we're going to start this. This is what I'm going to do. This is what God wants me to do. And we're going to start changing the world. And he really did it mostly one person at a time. I mean, there's a few where there's big groups. But pretty much when you read, like, the stories are sort of individual, where he went to this person or talked to this person. We have that ability to do the same thing. When you are sharing God's message, the right message, and so if you want to come back tonight, I'm going to talk about the wrong message from somebody that aggravates me. But when you're sharing the right message, people will hear that and they'll listen. And sometimes they're not ready to change their lives, but sometimes they are. But if you don't take the time to share with them, maybe they don't know what the message is because they've never had a chance to hear it. That right message is always available to all of us to share. For me and us, I need to do my best to prepare each one of you to go out in the world and share the message. For you guys, you need to prepare yourselves the best you can so that when you go out, you know that you're giving God's message and not Ed's message or your message. It has to be God's message. When people hear that, they can change. So we don't have to live in a world where two policemen get shot in New York yesterday. And I didn't watch the news, but I'm sure there was a shooting in Indianapolis because there's always a shooting in Indianapolis. But we can change the world. And so don't let the world bring you down to think you can't. God is with us, and with God, anything is possible. You're never alone when you're talking to somebody or when you're listening to somebody, which may be more important. He is always with you. So when TJ said today about sometimes you have to finish, because I'm a Bengals fan, I was watching the game and I'm thinking, boy, the best thing that's going to happen here is we're going to end up in overtime. Till he threw that pass in the middle of like four guys and the Bengals intercepted. I'm going, wait a minute, there's hope. There's hope for all of us each and every day. Because we never know when that opportunity is going to come for us to change the way it looked. The very best, the most I was hoping for was overtime. And as soon as he threw that pass and it got whomped around by four guys and the guy in the Cincinnati Bengals intercepted, I went, oh, the outcome just might have changed. We have that same ability. But it's not some fluke where ball gets tipped or guy doesn't catch it or drops it or whatever. It's because God is with us. And through God, everything's possible. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come together this day. Let us take your message out into the world and be prepared to share it with all those that we come in contact person and with. We can make a change in this world just as you did in so many ways, one person at a time, when we take God's message to your world. Amen.